Welcome to Passionate and Practical, the art of dreaming, doing, and serving. I'm your host, Lexi, and today's episode is with Liz Bohannon. Liz is a wife and a mama, and she's also the CEO and founder of Seiko Designs, a social enterprise working to educate and empower women. She believes deeply that business is a powerful platform for social change and that girls are our future. I often share my belief on this platform that when women love other women well, our world will change. Liz is truly an example of a woman who has made a promise to three girls in Uganda, 10 years later now employs over 50 women in East Africa. She's also an author to an amazing book that I had the pleasure of reading early before it releases on October 1st called Beginner's Pluck. On today's episode, we talk all about her new book, some of my favorite concepts in the book, and get to know her a little bit better. I was introduced to Liz through my husband, who went to the Global Leadership Summit, which is an amazing, amazing leadership conference for men and women to just hear from great speakers and authors and thought leaders in leadership and also as believers. And Liz was one of the speakers. Blake came home and he was so excited to introduce Liz and her talk to me. I was laughing, I was awe-inspired, and I was also kicked in the tush by some of the things that she had to say about thinking macro and investing micro. And I am so excited to have her on the show today. Please welcome Liz. Liz, tell us a little bit about the concept of Beginner's Pluck, your book.
Yeah, you know, so when I started my company, Seiko Designs, I had moved to Uganda. I did not have a background in fashion. I didn't have an interest in business. I was a journalism student and had this desire to find and report and write about issues that were facing women and girls living in developing economies and in conflict and post-conflict zones. And throughout the last decade of now being the CEO of a for-profit fashion company, I had this kind of insecurity about the fact that I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't have a background in that. I didn't even really have a pre-existing interest in those things. And a few years ago, I really kind of started diving in to this concept of imposter syndrome and thinking about the fact that this lack of experience, you know, lack of having a degree in this area or having connection or, again, even having quote unquote passion for what I was doing, the what behind what I was doing, not so much of the why. I've always been quite interested in the why, led me to kind of think about this concept of maybe it actually wasn't a disservice to myself or to what I was building that I didn't have an interest or that I didn't have experience or that I didn't have the right degrees or the right connections. Maybe that's actually why I've been successful, and really kind of starting to dive in to unpacking a lot of the really unhelpful narratives that I think are inundating our culture right now about what it means to quote unquote find your passion and dream big. And these narratives that I am finding are creating a lot of fear and anxiety in people, like they were in myself, and really kind of examining each of those concepts and then going, how did this actually play out in my life? How have I seen it play out in others' lives? And hopefully trying to recreate a different narrative instead of just saying like, that's stupid and it doesn't work, replacing that with, okay, if you don't believe that that works, what does work? What are the most helpful mentalities and mindsets and principles that we can use in building lives of purpose, passion, and impact? And that's what the book is about.
I love it. And I, like I said, I devoured it in 3 days.
That is crazy. That's so fast.
Yeah. I have a 20-month-old and a 3-month-old. So I had to wake up super early, get my coffee going. And I was reading and reading and reading. And it was
so you
just,
like, actually set your alarm to wake up early to read it.
Oh yes, I did.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
Yeah. I was loving it. I was craving it. It was just what I needed. And I told my husband at the end of it, I was like, it reminds me of Bob Goff. Like, you're just super whimsical and funny the way you tell stories, but you also have a lot of practical advice, which is just so needed. And as a millennial woman with big dreams, I loved your kind of step-by-step of, if you want to make a difference, you have to think global, but act local. And I just adore that. So you have this concept of owning your average and dreaming small. So tell us a little bit about that and how is that important in combating anxiety and fear in our lives?
Yeah, you know, the chapter called Own Your Average was absolutely the most difficult chapter in the whole book to write because it is such a delicate line. Because, you know, I was like, here, I want people to feel like inspired and empowered when they pick up this book. And yet I'm telling them that they're probably not that special. They're probably not all that talented. They're probably pretty average. But the truth is, I absolutely believe that counter to everything our culture is telling us, that can be an incredibly freeing and empowering thing. And it came from noticing in myself and in so many others. So I run this company called Sacred Designs. We are a socially conscious fashion brand, and we sell our product through a network of primarily female social entrepreneurs all across the country. So I am working on a daily basis with other female social entrepreneurs who are trying to build their lives and businesses of purpose and impact. And so I have this really amazing opportunity to hear firsthand all of these lies and these unhelpful narratives and mindsets that people are facing as they kind of go out in their journey. And one of those mentalities and mindsets is this notion that you have to be really special. You have to be really special. You have to be really talented. You have to be really gifted in order to do something really special with your life. And the two things that does to people both lead to absolute paralyzation. One, they either kind of believe the narrative that I'm special. And that narrative of like, I'm special actually doesn't promote a sense of freedom and empowerment. What it does is it makes you super fearful of doing anything that might make people question your status as really especially gifted. Mm-hmm. So you start to play it safe. You don't take risks. You don't do anything where you might look dumb or fail. And so it leads you to this kind of place of stagnancy and fear-induced stillness. On the other side of it, you believe you aren't special, and so you don't start in the first place. You wait until you have confirmation. You found your above average special skill set or hidden talent or hidden gift, and you kind of wait on the sidelines before you find it, before you start creating. And so, frankly, I realize like we're telling people this narrative that if they believe it, they're kind of screwed. If they don't believe it, they're kind of screwed. Like there has to be a better way that we can go about thinking about this. And the idea of just saying like, hey, truth is, you're probably pretty average. And guess what? That's okay. Because I really believe that when we own our average, we're more likely to spend less time kind of protecting our egos and doing all this angsty stuff, figuring out like, am I special? Do I belong? What am I going to look like? What are people going to say? And you can really get to pouring that same recovered energy into taking risks and into trying and failing and making mistakes and creating and iterating. And all of those things are how we go about actually building really meaningful lives of purpose, passion, and impact.
Love it. Preach, sister. Yeah. So one of my favorite things about the book is this journey that it took me on where I felt like you were speaking to me personally and you took me on this journey of your own life. And as your life unpacked it over the past 10 years or so, as you've built this company, you have just slowly introduced these different concepts of, I think that they were little kind of sprinkles of Jesus, I would say, in the book. And I was like, oh, I just want more. And it kept me coming back and coming back. And then at the end, and sorry to give it away, but at the end, you share your testimony and you share what makes you, what had you falling in love with Jesus and keeps you falling in love with Jesus. And oh man, I was crying and I was like, hallelujah. And so one of the best chapters was just this, he isn't safe, but he's good. So talk a little bit about that, why you tell your boys that and how that's playing out in your life.
Yeah. So as it specifically relates to this, mission that our, not just our generation, but everybody right now is on to kind of find their passion, quote unquote, one of the pitfalls of that. And one of the very unhelpful narratives that I have found is that people are equating passion to happiness. There's all of these like inspirational Instagram gurus who want to, you know, sell you their, you know, 10 life secrets about follow these things and you'll find your passion and you'll never work another day in your life. And I don't think that that's what passion is. And I don't think there's anything wrong with being happy. Like, of course, we all want to be happy. There's nothing wrong with it. But I think like most good things, when the good thing becomes the end all be all thing, then it goes from being this really good gift and it turns into an idol, this like false thing that we're chasing after that holds power over us. And I see that happening with people in this kind of a journey of building a quote unquote passionate life, is that passion equals happiness and happiness kind of becomes the end all be all. And I explain this in the book that I was really struck many years ago when I realized that the root of the word passion is the Latin word pati, which means to suffer. And thought, oh my gosh, that is literally the exact opposite of what our culture, how we talk about passion. And just realizing that I really believe that we as humans were created to hold both darkness and light, both joy and sorrow, both deep grief and deep happiness. And when we limit ourselves to only wanting to feel positive things all of the time, and when we chase after positivity and happiness and everything should be easy and bright and you should never feel like you're working and you should never feel bummed out, what we're doing is we're actually creating, we're making ourselves into these just like shallow one-dimensional beings that don't have the capacity to hold darkness, to hold the shadows, to hold questions, to hold grief, to hold sorrow. And what that does is that means we actually can't hold anything of depth in the positive realm either. Lasting joyfulness and peace and understanding and compassion, we kind of limit ourselves. And we I believe, have to choose to be one or the other. We get to be these deep wells that can hold all of these emotions, or we are kind of these like shallow bowls that don't really get to hold much of anything. And just really encouraging people to say like, hey, if you're chasing after building a purposeful, passionate life, you're going to face up, you are going to butt up against some really difficult things. Mm-hmm. And the world is a really, really dark place. And if you're doing anything that is more than just helping yourself out and, I don't know, getting rich quick, you're probably going to face some of those shadows and some of those dark corners. And if you believe this narrative that like finding your passion means you're going to be happy, then all of a sudden you're feeling these things that are not happiness. That narrative is going to make you go, you went the wrong way, wrong way, wrong way, jump ship, go back home, turn around, you know, like find something else because you weren't made to be here because this doesn't feel happy or good. And really encouraging people similarly to, as you referenced C.S. Lewis's line about Aslan, which is symbolic for the Lord, is that like, he isn't safe, but he is good. And how do we train ourselves and shift our mentalities so that we embrace kind of the fullness of humanity and of this existence that I really believe that we were created to live and to lean into?
Absolutely. I love that because so often we as Christian women can so cling to this safety that we think comes with the gospel, but in fact, it's the opposite. If we really know our God and we really know the stories of the gospel, people were martyred for their faith. And we, I think, have to be willing to suffer for the sake of advancing the kingdom and for the sake of supporting and encouraging and loving and empowering those who are marginalized and taking care of the orphan and widow. None of that is safe. None of that is easy, but it is good. And he is good and he will carry us through. And he's the Prince of Peace. So there are times where it is going to feel really rocky, but when we get to cling to his peace and his joy in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of grief, or in the midst of pain. And it's just so powerful to just remind ourselves he isn't safe, but he's good. So thank you so much for that part of your book and part of your journey. And there's so much about this book that I could talk about, but I know we are on a crunch time. So I will skip to the miracle hunting part is just so fun. I wanted to cover that. But I have had the pleasure of being a part of your launch team. And I'm on a Facebook group with over 500 men and women that are so on fire for the story, for this concept, for this book. And we are all going to blow this thing up on social media so it gets in the hands of so many
People, I think specifically millennial women are going to be rocked by this message. I think that they are going to, I think that there's so many people out there saying hustle, hustle, hustle. It's all on your shoulders. It's all on you. Become self-made. And I think that this is such a refreshing message to turn around and say, it's not all about you and it's not all about your hustle. It's about impact and it's about the thing, doing things that matter. And I really, really appreciate that as a fellow believer who wants to make an impact, who wants to be an influencer, but doesn't want to do it in a way that says, hey, everybody, look at me. I want to say, hey, everybody, look at him. He's doing it. He's already done it. And we just get to play a part in his story. So, and I think that the other concept of just dignity, the way that you've just pushed these women up and given them opportunity to be entrepreneurs, to be creatives, has just been so inspiring. And I love that you don't look at yourself as you're above them. You look at yourself as a sister with them. And I think that that is where the change really happens. That's when relationships can take root and the depth can form and God can do his work. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being a voice in this space. Thank you for your work with Seiko and your work in Uganda. It is so fun to follow you, and I will continue to do so and promote your book, and just super grateful for your heart.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much, Lexi. And thank you for your support and for being on my launch team. My publisher said, I haven't said this out loud to anybody else, they were like, we've never seen a launch team that is so excited and so supportive. And I have to tell you, it has been the most humbling, fun, amazing experience to feel like I'm walking into this season of putting this message that in some ways is a little countercultural and counterintuitive out into the world, and truly feeling like I am backed by 500 plus women and men who are going like, yes, yes, we believe in this. Yes, we want to be a part of this story. And it has been such a gift. And I'm so grateful that you've been a part of it.
Ladies, you are infinitely valuable. You are created with a unique set of gifts, skills, and talents created by God for His purpose and His glory. So go be His hands and feet to this broken world and get it, girl. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of the Summer Series. Make sure to share with a friend and leave a review, because it is life to us podcasters. Have a great summer!